The most famous brain surgeon in America has a middle name he says proves the Lord has a sense of humor. Ben Solomon Carson made his name as the first doctor to successfully separate infant twins joined together at the head. Among the other dramatic procedures he's pioneered, hemispherectomies, removing half a brain to prevent devastating seizures. Most recently, Dr. Carson was part of the international team that attempted to separate adult twins joined at the head. The Iranian Bijani twins died, putting Dr. Carson on one side of the debate over extremely risky surgery.
I think the reason God gave us brains is so that we could analyze situations. And if we always do what everybody else has done, how do we advance?
Ben Carson sat down with us recently at Johns Hopkins Children's Center. The 51-year-old African-American surgeon is tall and, as you might expect, has beautiful, slender hands. It's 8 a.m. and he's wearing his green scrubs.
Today I have a very light schedule. I've already done 9 cases this week. And today I just have to do a glycerin rhizotomy on an adult patient who has a trigeminal neuralgia.
In lay terms?
In lay terms, that's excruciating facial pain. It's like bolts of lightning going through your face. And back in the days before we had treatments for it, people would actually commit suicide. That's how bad the pain is. But now we have very excellent ways of taking care of it.
Those excellent ways involve operating on the brain?
Involve, in some cases, placing an extremely long needle through a hole in the base of the skull and injecting a chemical around the base of the nerve, and in some cases shooting an electrical current into the base of the nerve. And there's really no reason these days for people to suffer from this. Unfortunately, there's still hundreds of thousands, if not millions, of people who do suffer from it needlessly.
Because they don't know where to go? There's no doctor in the vicinity?
Or because they think that the treatment is worse than the disease.
Right there, it touches on what we really want to sit down and talk to you about today.
Okay.
And that's treatments that may appear to be worse than the disease, or at least are quite risky and,
sure,
and have that potential. Can I take you back to just earlier this summer? You joined the team in Singapore,
right,
that separated the two young Iranian women,
mm-hmm,
29 years old. They were joined at the head. They were basically healthy.
Yes.
But they themselves wanted to be separated, and it was a tricky operation.
Yes.
And their chances of surviving were put at something like 50-50.
Right, no better than 50-50.
Tell us how tricky it was, and then why you agreed to participate.
Okay. Well, extraordinarily tricky, number one, because no one had ever tried to do that before with adults, so we weren't exactly sure what we would encounter. Number two, because the vascular anatomy, we knew they shared some very major draining systems.
And a single vein.
Right.
Single critical vein.
Exactly. I mean, there were a number of very, very hazardous things that we were going to have to deal with. Why did I decide to participate? Because I felt that having had, you know, as much experience with these as anybody in the world, I would probably be negligent to turn my back and say, no, I'm not going to participate. You guys are on your own.
This surgery, it brought up an ethical question that has come up over and over again with risky surgery and experimental surgery. And that has to do with, do you do what the patient wants, even if they want it deeply? Other doctors, other very skilled doctors, had turned down these twins.
But they were going to eventually get done. That became very clear to me. Now, I must say, you know, going into it, I felt like many other people, being stuck together, it's not that bad. It's not the worst thing that could possibly happen to somebody. Yeah, you can get by. Come on, get over it. But after I met them, I understood. I mean, they were extremely vivacious, very intelligent, but quite depressed. And it became clear as I talked to them the reason for the depression. They had very, very different aspirations in terms of where their lives would go. And yet, they couldn't get there because they were stuck together. Because every decision was a committee decision, even going to the bathroom. When I talked to them and I understood that, and they said to me they couldn't stand it and that they'd rather die than spend another day attached, I felt a little better about my decision to participate, but still recognizing that it was going to be an extraordinarily difficult and challenging situation.
Where do you think you came by this ability to really not just take a risk, but embrace risk? And there's obviously a negative side to that.
Yeah, well, I think I came by it by reading. As a youngster, you know, that was the thing that really transformed me. My mother, who had only a third grade education, couldn't really read herself, insisted that both my brother and I read two books apiece from the Detroit Public Library and submit to her written book reports, which she couldn't read, but we didn't know that.
Did she fake it pretty well?
She faked it. She would put little check marks on them and act like she was reading it.
Last year you were diagnosed with a virulent form of
prostate cancer.
Did you have the normal reaction to hearing that you had this?
Probably not.
Well, I mean, were you horrified?
I wasn't that horrified, no. Dying itself was not in any way terrifying to me.
Of course, you've gained worldwide reputation for performing miracle surgeries. It got a lot of publicity, your case. And I gather at the beginning you were trying not to spread the word and were rather forced to and put out a statement. I mean, you're that famous. And what happened?
Well, the announcement about my cancer, unfortunately, was printed on the obituary page. And, you know, some people, they just look at headlines to say Carson, cancer, on the obituary page, and all of a sudden the rumors just start flying. And, you know, that's it was kind of funny.
There you are, a patient, I mean, with quite a life-threatening disease. Theoretically, had you been offered a treatment that was experimental, that, say, offered you, say, a 50-50 chance of living or dying, would you be really upset if you were turned down?
No. I would expect to be turned down in that situation because there were so many better alternatives. If there weren't any better alternatives, probably been just as vigorous as the Bajani twins in trying to find a way to get it done if there weren't the alternatives.
Dr. Ben Carson in his office at Johns Hopkins Hospital, where he's chief of pediatric neurosurgery.